Today's scripture reading is from the Gospel of Matthew. At this point in the story, things have really heated up. Jesus had already paraded into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey as the adoring crowd shouted Hosanna. He had already made a scene in the temple court by flipping over the tables of the corrupt and exploitive money changers. He then withered an entire fig tree because it bore no fruit. We've come a long way from the Sermon on the Mount. It's clear that Jesus knows his ministry will end here at any time, and he is pulling no punches. He speaks with great urgency to his disciples about how critically important it will be for them to hold fast to his teachings, even when things get tough. After several parables, he talks about the end of days and how followers of Jesus are to behave in this world. In this story, Jesus tells us about a separation that will take place. Much like a shepherd cuts away the sheep from the goats, so will God separate those who do good on earth from those who serve only themselves. Hear the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 35 through 40, as Jesus describes the actions of righteous people. Jesus said to them, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." And then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." The word of God, leading us to be a people of God.
This is how we serve in mission. We feed the hungry, we clothe the naked, and we visit the prisoners. And today is Mission Sunday, and we're worshiping together, which is a wonderful thing to do, especially to talk about the stories of how we as a church live out our vision statement to serve God and honor God through service and mission. Generally, we might have a guest speaker from one of our mission places that we support, but this year, I thought perhaps we should hear from people in the church who are serving God in their mission. And so today we're going to hear three distinct stories of people who are working their faith in mission and service. So we'll hear first from Barbara Stevens, and then followed by Rick Johnson, and finally, youth group representative Charlotte Dressler will also tell her story. So Barbara, please come.
When Bob, thank you. When Bob invited us to share with you, he gave us four questions to help frame our reflections about mission. I invite you to think about these questions because I'm well aware of all of the service that you do as a part of our church. The first question is, what is the work? Over the last 14 years, with a great deal of support from angels on both sides of the Atlantic, including right here at Tricon, I've been involved in advancing access to education in a relatively remote area of Western Uganda. The work has included opening primary school libraries, leading teacher workshops, founding a mother's literacy group, providing school fees for talented students, and being a liaison between like-hearted people in two different cultures on two sides of the Atlantic. Bob's second question, why do you spend your time and money this way? The question was asked of me in Uganda in 2009 by Flavian on break from university. She worked with me every day that year to help as we prepared to open our first library at Kasisi School. One day I asked her, Flavian, why are you here, giving up your holiday time? And she said, because I love my school. But why are you here? In a nutshell, it has to do with interabiding, with love, and saying yes to an invitation. We've learned so many things in Uganda, but two important ones help answer Flavian's and Bob's question. First, in Uganda, we experienced a really strong sense of the underlying unity that contains all of the differentiation we perceive in this world. We had an advanced course in oneness, you might say, 8,000 miles from home, through the warmth, dignity, graciousness, resilience, and generosity of the very spiritual Batoro people. We were drawn to them, and our lives were changed. The second may sound so obvious, but it's one thing to know something in your head, and quite another to experience it in the heart. And that is that intelligence, commitment, potential, and drive are universal, found in every corner of this globe. But opportunity is not. So my work in literacy is my tiny way of addressing that need. Bob's third and fourth questions have to do with how does serving in mission enhance your understanding of God and scripture and connection in Christ? And how does service work offer your life meaning? Here's one way to describe the path of a Christian life. There is another. Become the other. There is no other. There is another. Become the other. There is no other. There is no other. Connection and community are in the DNA of the Ugandan culture. The ease with which they included us in community was remarkable, from our earliest encounters right through to the present. One Sunday on our first visit, Wayne and I attended a service at St. Stephen's Church. The service was underway when we slid into the back row as unobtrusively as we could. Almost immediately, the drums stopped. Silence in the room. And the minister would not say one more word until we were properly greeted, welcomed, and included. Who were we? Where were we from? Why were we there? How is everything in America? A teacher who was proficient in English acted as our interpreter for the Rutoro speakers who needed translation, and then for us as the service resumed in local language. Barriers were removed. The message to us, you belong. You are part of us. It's easy to sense God's presence and connect to Christ at moments like that when we feel truly part of the family of man. Someone named Jan Richardson said, "What we choose changes us. What we love transforms us." On returning home from Uganda in 2005, when asked, "How was your trip?" my husband said, "We are humbled. We are exalted." And that remains a constant all these years later, as we learn and relearn that we are truly one world, one voice, one heart beating.
Good morning. As a kid growing up on a farm, I spent every minute I could outdoors. Hunting, fishing, looking at wild animals in the woods. How does a squirrel decide which way it's going to go up a tree? You got to think like a squirrel to figure that out. I loved it all. I was fascinated by it. I was ashamed to admit to our minister that I found more spiritual connection in the woods than I did in church. After I grew up and became a lawyer, I discovered that lawyers don't spend much time in the woods. But just as I started out lawyering, the environmental movement took off and Earth Day happened. Soon I was drafting laws and bringing lawsuits on behalf of environmental organizations and connecting again to what I loved. After time at the Environmental Protection Agency, I did other kinds of legal work to pay the rent, but eventually developed an environmental practice that was mostly pro bono. The environmental work ramped up my energy, while other kinds of work pulled it down. So, for example, the fight to stop a huge gold mining project on the border of Yellowstone Park dragged on for 10 long litigating years. But it was easy for me to get up for it and stay up for it because I had backpacked that country along the Yellowstone border with my wife and kids many times. And part of my spirit was connected in those high Montana mountains. But I've never thought of myself as being on a mission. I've just been grateful to be part of something larger than myself and try to match up what I did with what I really cared about. Whatever I did that could be called mission gave a lot more back to me than I ever put into it. And it allowed me to keep my spirit in the woods.
Hello, my name is Charlotte Dressler, and I am a junior in high school at CCHS. With Tricon, I have been on two mission trips to the Rio Grande Valley in Texas and Puerto Rico. Having some prior experience, I now feel confident in saying that I am starting to figure out what mission work is all about. Perhaps my biggest takeaway from my experiences is that mission trips are not about serving others. Year after year, Tricon holds a mission trip service where a group of us share the contributions we made to a community in one short week. While it is true we go on mission trips to reach out to struggling communities and people, our purpose is not to visit for a week and fix everything with some paint and a side of white privilege. In order to have a meaningful and impactful experience through mission work, especially outside one's community, I have found that you must learn one basic truth. We are serving each other in an act to serve God. We are not serving God alone. When we serve each other, we are also serving God and aiming to fulfill a greater purpose. My best example of serving each other is during mealtime. On my past two trips, I've had impactful interactions with the local people who we are working with. I found that members of the communities we visited were always intentional in all of their actions. They didn't take anything for granted, and neither did we. They took time out of their day and opened their homes and hearts to us, making us meals for hours on end for a group of 50 people. Then, usually one meal per day, we got to sit down with a family from outside our church group and talk with them. Even though there was a bit of a language barrier at times, we were able to laugh and communicate enough to form a connection. I found that it is easiest to bond with people on mission trips outside of our Tricon bubble when we realize that we do have privilege, but we are not at the head of the table. In actuality, we sit at the same table as equals. Although we might sit on different sides, we often share common experiences and beliefs. With this mindset, I have felt a connection to something greater than me on the trip to Puerto Rico last year. On the last day of the trip, our entire Tricon group was invited to a party celebrating the newly redone home of a couple who had been victims of Hurricane Maria. We had worked together to complete all the final touches on the house right up until the start of the party. Then, one by one, we hugged Delia and Lewis, the couple whose home we worked on. We exchanged jokes with our new friends Christian and Hector before seeing the final results of the home. It was an occasion I will never forget. Everyone was either teary-eyed or grinning from ear to ear. I knew in that moment it was not about the home being finished. It was about us coming together for the greater good. So go on, try it out, serve each other, and see how the mindset treats you and others. I promise you, it will make a difference.
Thank you. There is no other. Imagine. Imagine the first word of God in creation. Imagine sitting at a table and there's room for all. These are three of the stories of how Tricon fulfills the mission of honoring God through service and mission. And these are just three, because I know all of you. I look around and I know that you are all involved in serving God through service and mission and honoring God this way.